Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
There's no reason for people in the United States now to be walking around with masks. There just isn't. Now, when you are in a situation where you have someone who's sick, one of the most important purposes of a mask is to prevent a person who is infected from transmitting it out. So if I had a patient that I was taking care of, besides my own PPE that I'd be wearing, I'd put a mask on the patient.
Anthony Fauci, he speaks. He's an American immunologist who has made a lot of contributions to all kinds of research with a lot of serious viruses and disease. He's a scientist and head of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney. So he talks about the mask situation and what is an outbreak and what is a pandemic and that sort of thing, and what is likely that we will see here in the United States. Everybody wants to know, what can I expect? What can I expect? I know all of you listening to this show, if you're driving around in the desert in Arizona, or you're especially on the West Coast in Washington, we have a lot of people listening, Washington State, you know that this is nothing to take lightly. I mean, and that is what's key here. And what he is saying, Dr. Fauci is saying at this point, is he says it's an outbreak and even likely of pandemic proportions. So listen to what he's saying, and then let's see how all of it plays out. Sadly, it doesn't play out well for people who have died in Washington State. 14 states, one territory, and you know the numbers just keep growing. And the death toll is at 6. Now 15 states reporting confirmed cases. 4 new deaths reported in Washington State on Monday. The U.S. cases top 100 across the states that I said, the 15. You have in South Korea, the president declaring war on the outbreak. They say they got 5,000 cases. The Chinese government says Iran is working with its coronavirus advice. And China is reporting new cases are dropping to the lowest in a month. So what's happened to some people is they've been stuck because they've been in China and they haven't been able to come back from China because of the timing of the coronavirus. The Washington Post did a story about a man and his wife and 5-year-old daughter who boarded a plane at Baltimore Washington International Marshall Airport, BWI, as we call it. And the flight was the first leg in this trip to China. And unfortunately, they got locked in the middle of this. So they were stuck about 300 miles from Wuhan, the city of the 11 million people. That's the epicenter of the coronavirus outbreak. Travel restrictions wouldn't let them move freely. So their return home on the 29th of January just went away. And they wore masks. They were cooped up in a small apartment. They were trying to get information. They didn't have access to reliable information. Remember, China, communist country. The streets were like a ghost town. And finally, they were flown out on a cargo plane staffed by people in full hazmat gear. Then they were quarantined at the Air Force Base in Texas, Lackland Air Force Base. And then finally got to get back to Baltimore on February 20th. And there are other stories like this, that there were people that were trapped. But now we have people in the United States where they're saying they don't know how they got this virus. They're not sure what contact they came in with, but they've had in the Seattle area, the evidence is suggesting the virus could have spread undetected for weeks. So three of the deaths that were announced on Monday were linked to a nursing home in Kirkland, Washington. They declared a state of emergency, hospitalized other residents in critical condition, and the fatalities add to the amount that's climbing. One was a man in his 50s who had some health problems, another a man in his 70s who was somebody who lived at that nursing home. They're treating patients with the virus with similar symptoms in Georgia and New Hampshire, and they're part of the 15 states who fall into that category. Vice President Mike Pence said at the White House on Monday, we'll know there will be more cases. We know there will be. We're focused on mitigation of the spread as well as the treatment of the people that are affected, which makes sense. What are they going to do? And at a rally in Charlotte, North Carolina on Monday night, the president talked about his efforts to contain an outbreak in the U.S. and said a vaccine would be coming relatively soon. But in Washington, the governor there had a different kind of message, saying people should consider avoiding large events. They should prepare for other disruptions in their daily lives because it's spreading. And you don't want to be out among any kind of a spread. Just look at South Korea and why the president there is declaring war on the coronavirus. Because of the amount of people who are testing positive for it. And anybody coming in and out of the U.S. on direct flights from South Korea and Italy, of course, they're saying they're going to be 100% screened. Because they can't take any chances from those areas. There's just no way. So scientists are scrambling. There's fear that are sending people in panic mode, and they're buying up food and cleaning supplies and water and everything that you could imagine. But yet the CDC did say over the weekend that it would be smart to have 2 weeks' supply in your house, so that you would have food, that you would have what you needed if you had to stay inside. And with the death toll climbing to 6 overall, you can see why that would make sense because of the possibilities. And then major airlines, what are they, you know, because of the virus, where are they not flying? Where is it risky? What about what's happening as a result of it economically? Last week was disastrous, but it was a bigger week on the stock market, as Monday was a very, very big bounce back day, thank goodness, after a disastrous week, because I know many people have 401ks and you hate to see that tank and try to have to make up whatever it is that you lost in that. So while the U.S. outbreak is being monitored and the coronavirus is so awful in other areas, and you've got people getting face masks, and you have lots of questions about the virus, the one thing that we know is that financially, at least, the market on Monday bounced back. And again, that is very, very good news. Somebody asked me, what is the coronavirus and why does it have the word novel in front of it? It's because it's a new strain in a family of viruses that we've seen before and have had in some form. That's why you've got that in front of it. You think of other acute respiratory diseases like SARS and MERS, which they had in the Middle East, and this is a little bit different. Big problems with pneumonia, kidney failure, and a buildup of fluid in the lungs. Yikes. Hang with us.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's a clip from The Rachel Ray Show testing the results of Instantly Ageless.
Board certified dermatologist Dr. Whitney Bowe.
If you're looking to try to turn back the clock on a budget, you know, in the privacy of your own home, but actually there's some recent technologies emerging, almost like changes the behavior of the skin while it sits on the skin.
She went off to try a product called Instantly Ageless.
Yeah.
Instantly, you could see a difference. Even the cameraman were like, wow, look at the difference.
Yeah.
But I would definitely use this product.
This product.
within minutes of applying it, it was actually a very dramatic rejuvenation.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Dehebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arcos Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dehebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arcos Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dehebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arcos Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Time for another version of We Can Count. So because we're all talking about COVID-19, and that's specifically the way they said it from the White House today, they're talking about drug makers committed to jointly pursuing a COVID-19 cure, and the president was front and center and pushing companies to collaborate to speed the process of getting a vaccine and therapeutics to victims of the virus. Of course, it's all hands on deck at this point. The global death toll from the illness caused by the new coronavirus now exceeds 3,000. I've said these numbers before. I'll say it again. With more than 60 countries affected in the United States, there have been more than 90 cases, 6 deaths. So it's all about first to getting there. Who can get there first, fast? How do we do it? What are we doing? All of that. In fact, the meeting at the White House included all the big pharmaceutical companies, of course, Glaxo, SmithKline, Gilead Sciences, you know, you name the pharmaceutical, Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson. They're working on vaccines or treatments for the virus, trying to accelerate their development as much as possible. But, you know, you've got clinical trials to guarantee a vaccine is safe and effective. And when you normally do that, you know what the minimum is? 12 to 18 months to hit the market. How much giddy up can you have when you have to make sure it's safe and that it works, obviously? So buckle up is what I could say. That's one thing we know. In watching this and watching it unfold, you realistically look at timelines and how fast is fast. All right, this was pretty fast. Joe Biden gets Klobuchar, Buttigieg, and Other endorsements just almost seemingly overnight, because Klobuchar dumps out of the race. So did Buttigieg. And Beto O'Rourke decided that he was going to put his name behind, in the great state of Texas, behind Joe Biden. However, looking at a poll, you know, I am a poll princess, looking at all these polls, and politically speaking, that's what all the political gnats, I call them, do. Anybody trying to get anyone elected, they are laser focused on points and polls. The former Vice President Joe Biden surged 7 points since his win in the South Carolina primary, closing that gap behind Senator Bernie Sanders from 13 points to only 3 on the eve of Super Tuesday. How about that? Former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg in third place at 17%, down 1 percentage point from the previous poll, followed by Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts, who's at 11%. 11%. So it's about electability, and the Democrats are talking about electability. Who's electable, Bernie Sanders or Joe Biden? I think that's why you're seeing so many of the endorsements go the way of Joe Biden, because many of the Democrats don't believe that Bernie Sanders is electable against Donald Trump versus Joe Biden. Boy, you know that old trite saying, we live in interesting times. I can honestly say we live in interesting times. There's no doubt about it. With this election going on, COVID-19 happening and the panic over that, and a slew of other things happening around the world easily. All right, speaking, make it interesting, easily make it interesting. We talked about the Gymnastics USA, and Allie Reisman blasted USA Gymnastics. And she said that, you know, they're involved in a cover-up and knew about Larry Nassar's abuse. And she talked about that on the Today Show and other interviews that she's done. And she said that the $215 million settlement proposed by them was offensive. It shows they don't care. They're trying to push it under the rug. They're hoping people will forget about it when they watch the Olympics in the summer, if we have the Olympics. She says it's been draining the U.S. Gymnastics, the United States Olympic Committee. They refuse to take any accountability to address the issue to figure out what went wrong. And, of course, Nassar, that's his name, Nassar is serving a life sentence for more than 150 women, including Allie Reisman, too, who accused him of sexual abuse. So that was the response. I mean, what a nightmare story, and what a nightmare for those poor young girls going through what they went through with somebody who was in charge of their health, and then to find out just the Pandora's box it was. The more the stories came out, the worse it got, and of course he should never see the light of day, and it certainly doesn't look that way with the kind of sentencing that he got. All right, Wall Street rose from the ashes, so stocks went back on stimulus hopes. The Dow soared 5%, nearly 1,300 points Monday. There was a seven-day rout that was on, and it's all about the hopes that the central bank will take action to shield the global economy from the effects of the outbreak. Technology companies led the broad gains, which gave the Dow its biggest ever point gain and biggest percentage increase since March of 2009. That is the good news, because it was very bleak news, certainly looking at what was happening last week. That's a very, very big turnaround. Because we haven't been in the man cave in a while and been preoccupied with COVID-19, here's a couple of other things that are happening numbers-wise in the in the world when it comes to the world of sports anyway, just quickly. How about number 11 Duke routing North Carolina State to avenge that historic loss? So that was a big one for them because we're getting to March Madness, and Cassius Stanley soared in the game. The 11th ranked Blue Devils finally had their way in the second half, and he had 14 of his 18 points after the halftime. So it was all about beating the Wolfpack 88-69. Duke coach Mike Krzyzewski said back-to-back road losses at Wake and Virginia had knocked back his players, but they responded well. They should be in, but what will the Blue Devils do once they're dancing? Well, of course, that is the big question, isn't it, after all? Kareem Hunt. Cleveland Browns Kareem Hunt's not going to be charged with marijuana possession from something that happened in January. He was stopped, and they said they're not pursuing any of the charges against him. No determination had been made about whether he would be charged, but said the charges were, they say the charges were unlikely. Asked back on February 25th at the NFL scouting combine whether Browns would tender Hunt, the new general manager said, yes, that's the anticipation right now. So they think there is a future for Kareem. So the good news is he may get a pass on this one. But he has to have his, he's got to have his head in the game, so to speak, if that's going to continue to work for him. Otherwise, look for him to be elsewhere, I guess, is the best way to put that. All right, and then finally there is this one. Prince Harry and Duchess Meghan, they went back to the UK, and he made his second public appearance, Harry did, back in the United Kingdom, with a visit to Abbey Road Studios with John Bon Jovi to witness the recording of a single to benefit his Invictus Games Foundation. So the engagement was not announced in advance, but Harry and Duchess Meghan's official Instagram account said he was in Scotland to learn about how the country's tourism division is taking measures to increase sustainability and support local communities. And then, of course, the Abbey Road appearance, which was announced in advance and mobbed by the media because it was the return of Harry and Meghan for a final appearance in advance of their step back as senior working members of the royal family, but that doesn't take place until April 1st. How about that? I always like those Abbey Road pictures where everybody moves their hands and they walk across the road. It was cool to see Bon Jovi do it and then see Harry do it as well. All right, hang with us. I'll meet you on the other side.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this. But you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-377-1456. 800-377-1456. That's 800-377-1456. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
U.S. USA Radio News with Robin Walensky.
Politics front and center in the news as three Democrats are out of the race. All three backing Joe Biden for president with the hope of denying socialist Bernie Sanders the nomination. Amy Klobuchar dropping out Monday. Billionaire businessman Tom Steyer and Mayor Pete both calling it quits over the weekend.
I talked to Mayor Pete and Amy Klobuchar.
Meanwhile, former New York City Mayor Mike Bloomberg, who President Trump calls Mini Mike because of his height, says he's in it to win it. He tells supporters in Virginia,
and I wish them all the best. I thought both of them behaved themselves, is a nice way to phrase it, but they represented their country and their states very well, and I felt sorry for them, but I'm in it to win it.
By the way, Bloomberg has spent an astounding $500 million on campaign ads. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.
To our next guest, Bern Harnisch is the founder of one of my favorite organizations, Young Entrepreneurs Organizations. It's YEO. Now it's Entrepreneurs Organization. Everybody I know, I think, that has done so well in business has gone through here in some form. And they also have his book, Mastering the Rockefeller Habits 2.0, Scaling Up, How a Few Companies Make It and Why the Rest Don't. It's the winner of 8 international book awards. Like I said, I could go on and on. He's the growth guy. To me, he is the godfather of entrepreneurism. I have his book dog-eared in front of me every single night on my bookshelf. I pull it down. I cannot tell you how thrilled I am to have him on our show. Vern, thanks so much for spending some time with us.
Well, Kate, glad to be on the show. And, you know, we're going really hard with this idea of turning companies into professional sports teams. So I think we're going to be right up your alley here.
Oh, absolutely. And that is exactly what I think. I think you want to attract raving fans. You look at from top to bottom how you run an organization. And you know, because of what you've done for entrepreneurism, how you've excelled with it and how you've preached it to so many and turned around a lot of what they were doing. Do you think right now we're at the all-time high for entrepreneurs? Is this a good time to be an entrepreneur?
But, you know, it is. We've got 11,000 startups every hour in the world. So it is on fire. I was not just, but a few months ago in China, they've got 12,000 new companies a day. So, by the way, the challenge isn't startups. We've got a lot of new companies. The challenge is the countries don't have enough scale-ups. And the United States is leading, about 3% of our companies scale. Great Britain is only 1%. And China could only identify 25,000 scale-ups out of the tens of millions of companies that they have.
Where do you think most people fail when it comes to scaling up?
You know, we looked at really four areas: people, strategy, execution, and cash. And it's like a four-legged table. If any one of those legs is weak, it's not good. You know, if it was easy, if it was just kind of one thing, then I think everybody would be able to scale. But you've got to get all of that put together. But if you put it down to a word, Kate, it's complexity. You know, 76% of the companies in the U.S., the only employee is the entrepreneur. And I like to kid that many of those companies are overstaffed. And as a result, when you start adding people, the chaos that comes with scaling is what tends to overwhelm people.
Oh, boy, isn't that true? You're in the middle of a tornado. And I think, Vern, and you would know even better than I do, although I've done some research on it, too. I think people give up. They get overwhelmed and they just back away. They escape. They can't do it. They just freak out. Do you think that happens?
It does. What happens, they start to add 3, 4, 5, 6 employees. And the crazy part is revenue may be going up, but they actually start making less money. And at some point they're like, why am I doing all of this when I just want to go back when it was just me, you know, working out of a spare bedroom? And it seemed a lot easier. So, again, it's easy to start, but really tough to scale.
One of the things that I like, as I said, I really have absorbed your book over the years. And you've got a part of the book called, and you just mentioned it, one of the four things that you looked at, strategy. And you talk about the key question. Oh, I can't tell you how many people fumble over this. Can you state your firm's strategy simply? And is it driving sustainable growth in revenue and gross margins? And you give great examples, simple examples. Even you start with Domino's and what happened with Domino's. And if you can't articulate it and it's not clear and you don't have something that differentiates you, I think that's one of the big keys, right?
It is. And it starts, Kate, with figuring out what word or two you're going to own in the minds of the market. That really is the essence of brand, whether you're the best Italian restaurant in Dallas or, you know, if I'm out looking for, you know, back when my son was born, the safest automobile. Every automobile can get you from point A to point B, but there was no question back then. It was going to be a Volvo. And so with Domino's, when you say deliver pizza, and Kate, I've asked that question. I was just in Kuala Lumpur on 6 continents, and everyone says Domino's. And then they made a simple promise, we'll deliver it in 30 minutes or less, and then they backed it up with a guarantee. And that simple phrase that they executed on all over the world made Tom about $4 billion, not that the money mattered. He ended up giving it all away, essentially, but that's the essence of a simple strategy.
Yeah, I like it. So pay attention to that and pick up this book, too, by the way, if you don't have it. Mastering the Rockefeller Habits 2.0, Scaling Up, How a Few Companies Make It and Why the Rest Don't. So you mentioned a couple of places, Vern, just a couple, Kuala Lumpur, China recently, and you've been all over the place. Of all the places you've gone and talked about entrepreneurism and scaling up, do you have a favorite spot?
You know what? It's interesting. The United States, Kate, we lead in scaling up. We're really the model for all the other countries around the world. My concern is that as a percent of the global economy, we've dropped from about 60% to less than 24%. And it seems like the other entrepreneurs in the other countries are hungrier, particularly to get global, than we are in the United States. And so I really think we have some heavy lifting to do to realize that we're not the only market. And if you're not doing business outside the U.S., you're leaving 75% of the market on the table.
Ooh, that's a big number, 75%. Certainly take that to heart. And why do you think that is? Because we're just looking at what's in front of us and we can't see the forest through the trees?
Yeah, we've been so lucky. We've had such a big market that we can serve, that we didn't need to get international. But, you know, when our company had the wake-up call during 9/11, we set a goal to say, look, we want at least 50% of our revenue outside the U.S., and so we made our first moves there in 2001 to get global. And today we're on six continents, and it's good to have not all of our eggs in one economic basket.
Yeah, there you go. Again, take that away, global, et cetera. The role of technology, Vern, how has technology accelerated what people are able to do? I think it's phenomenal. Some people are kind of iffy in some areas of technology. What do you think?
Well, I don't think there's any non-tech companies in the 21st century.
Yeah.
And it's really technology that has allowed, you know, five-person company to do business globally. You can do business anywhere at any time with anyone from anywhere. And that's why every industry is feeling more competitors than we've ever felt. And that's the big thing that's changed, is the level of competition that's coming in from all over the place. Again, technology is allowing us to do that.
Yeah. What keeps you up at night?
That's a great question. You know, I've been blessed. I can sleep. No. What's interesting, what used to keep me awake is not having sufficient cash. You know, I remember when Michael Dell was scaling, and he, from the second year when I first met him in his dorm room to when he hit his first milestone and then essentially lost the company and had run out of cash. And one of the things we learned is if you've got cash, you sleep a lot better and you age a lot slower. And so we're big fans of making sure that companies get the customer. And that's the big change, is hardly anyone's really going to get VC or other funding. The best funding to get for any company is from the customer. And so we really help companies figure that out to drive their own cash flow.
Right. So it goes back to kind of, in a crazy way, that old saying, the customer is king, and then you see poor customer service, and then you see people not being invested in what your product is. And, of course, when you have customers and people who love you, what do they do, Vern? You know this. They tell everyone. They're your mouthpiece, right?
They are. And the other area that we've really been focused around is pricing. You know, we get so caught up as entrepreneurs on the cost side of our business. And look, you've got to watch costs closely. But the real opportunities are on the price side. One of the great examples, and I'll kind of play it out. The godfather of influence, Robert Cialdini, they ran an experiment at a restaurant. So we're not talking about Facebook, Google, or Amazon. We're talking about a restaurant where they had a wine list. And typically the wine list is listed from least expensive to most expensive wine. All you have to do is reverse the order of that list and put it from most expensive to least expensive, and you'll drive about 26% more revenue. You didn't change a wine. You didn't change a price. It's just the psychology of it. So I mentioned I was in China a few months ago, and this really great entrepreneur, Adrian Wall, has got a simple business idea, and that is to bring a taste of New York to Shanghai. So he's partnered with some of the iconic brands, Kate, in New York City, like Joe's Pizza. I don't know if you've had a chance to eat there,
yes.
But, you know, it's that restaurant under the bridge. Everyone's, you know, standing in line, mm-hmm. 24/7. So he says, I'm going to bring Joe's Pizza to Shanghai. But I mentioned about a year ago when he was in the first workshop about this idea of reversing the menu. And so when I was there, he said, Bert, you got to come by and see the shop. And he's got a bunch of them now in Shanghai. And he did just that, Kate. He used to list it from least expensive, his vegan, to his meat lovers, most expensive. All he did was reverse the order. And it drove, he didn't get the 26%, but he drove 16% more revenue. Didn't change a pizza slice, didn't change a price, but he just was more clever around the psychology of pricing. And so, look, if you can earn an extra dollar, that generally goes right to the bottom line. Whereas if you're running, 10 or 15% profitability, you got to drive 5 to 10 times more revenue to get that extra dollar to the bottom line.
Wow, that's a great story. Perfect place to end this. We could talk all day. Vern Harnish, he is the guru of scaling up. Pick up his book, Scaling Up, How a Few Companies Make It and Why the Rest Don't. Vern, thank you so much for joining us.
You got it, Kate. Thanks a million.
Shut shot at? In Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas? Riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet? Scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success? And why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily, now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen. Well, hopefully not. While pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hey guys, it's Sue Cosner, your favorite sexual health expert, with another version of Ask the Pro. This month, I got a letter from Sandy in Seattle about an explosive bedroom secret she and her husband recently discovered. She writes, "Dear Sue, my husband and I used to have a great life in the bedroom, but in the last few years, he has struggled. He's tried about everything, but nothing has worked. Then one day he came home and gave me a night I will never forget. He told me about this secret formula, Noxitril, that changed our life in the bedroom once and for all." Wow, Sandy, you beat me to it. I recommend Noxitril to every guy that struggles in the bedroom. It's the only one. Noxitril is all natural and works to increase blood flow fast. It's like that little blue pill on steroids. Noxitril has a special free bottle offer shipped discreetly to your door.
To find out how to get your bottle of Noxitril, call 800-421-0954. 800-421-0954. Get your free bottle for a limited time. Call now. 800-421-0954. 800-421-0954.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
This time around in our author's corner to go across the pond, as it were, although it wouldn't be that way for some of you listening, and go to Cambridge in the UK and speak to Alexia Franklin, who's written a really powerful book. We had an incredible conversation off the air called From Fear to Peace. Very easy to pick up this book. You can go simply even to Amazon.com. Alexia, thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, Kate. Thank you for asking me on the show.
So we talked about what made you decide to write this book, and tell the listeners what it was that inched you forward in writing this book.
I was defrauded, nearly lost my life, but I was given a lifeline by a lady with a very frightened dog who we became friends. And when I was on the verge of one step away from being on the street, she said, "No, you're going to come and live with me." I was also very embarrassed about writing because I was dyslexic, but she had a love of English and a love of reading and writing. And as I got my health sorted out, when I moved in with her from being so ill I couldn't think straight, because basically I had an underactive thyroid which had been missed, she said to me, "You need to put down in a book what's happened to you as I turn my life around." And that took a lot of doing, because that meant facing one of my demons, if you like. to actually put this down on paper. But it was also a great way of healing as well.
Oh, I can imagine the how cathartic that was for you to be able to do that. Was it hard to go through that process, to think about it, to write it, and then to come out on the other side?
It was hard to talk about the fraud and to admit the fact that I'd lost everything to fraud. And I felt embarrassed at the fact that it was going to take me a lot longer to write it than most people. But the beauty that's come out of that is now a passion for writing. And I absolutely love, I've got quite addicted to doing blogs. I have a Facebook blog, and I also have a website called healingforlife.com. And I do videos on YouTube and various other sites as well. And it's given me something that I didn't know that I would love. If somebody had said to me back before I became ill and before I knew Amy that I would have a love for writing, I would have laughed. But it's an absolute passion. But always has to come with me with a picture. I go on Pinterest, and I have a website called Healing for Life on Pinterest, and I find pictures on there, and I download them on my computer. And then I look for ways to write something short that helps with health, with well-being, with mental health issues, whatever subject I feel. And that particular blog, which goes out on a Monday or a Thursday, is relevant to either what's going on in the world or something that has come up around me.
Boy, how powerful is that? And in your book, From Fear to Peace, you have a poem, I think, that really sums up your message. Would you kindly recite that poem for everybody who's listening?
Yeah, I'd love to do that for you. It's called Faith, Fear to Free. Faith is always with you. So why do you change it to fear? When freedom is always inside you, you know you have nothing to fear. Faith is always with you. You know you can always change it to be free. So freedom is always inside you, so you know you have nothing to fear. Faith is always with you. You know you have nothing to fear.
Wow, how beautiful is that? And it goes along perfectly with your title, From Fear to Peace, and that's what happened to you, right?
Yes, very much. From being pretty wealthy to finding I got nothing in the bank, and I didn't know how I was going to clear the debt from the fraud, how I was going to rebuild my life, even if I could rebuild it at that point. But something just said to me, little doors open for you. We sometimes see little opportunities that we think, well, should I do that or shouldn't I? But something made me think, yes, Amy's giving me this opportunity. I've now got to make this work. I don't know how I'm going to do it. And at that stage, I had no idea. And one of the most terrifying things with that was the day she actually took me in, what I managed to salvage from my house was either moved in her next door neighbor's car. She'd managed to get hold of a friend's van. So anything else that was salvaged was either in Amy's garage or an ex-client's garage. Everything else I lost. But she had friend coming from Australia, and she said, you're not staying in the house on your own while I go and meet her. You've got to come with us. So you can imagine the day I move into her house, not only have I got to get over that trauma, I've got to go and meet her family, which I don't really know, and her relations. And it was quite traumatic, shall we say. It was great looking back, but terrifying at the time.
But it's such a big part of your journey, and I think led you to this book and to what now you have to offer so many people. Do you feel that way, Alexia?
I do, and the more people I can help would be great to me. This is my promise to God, to the universe, however anybody on the radio sees it, that's fine with me. But what you put out there comes back to you. It's little things of saying thank you to people, even acknowledging when somebody stops where you cross the road. And I've had this proved to me time and time again that it does work. Just moving up here to Cambridge, I didn't know anything. I live in what they call the Fens. And that would be many years ago. Most of this area would have been wetland this time of year. The only way they used to get around on it was on stilts.
Wow.
So 90% of the housing in this area wouldn't be here unless they would be on stilts, basically. But, of course, over, this is going back in history to when King John was alive, and even further back, they started to drain the Fens because it's beautiful growing soil up here. But I didn't know a soul. I didn't know anything about the Fens. I didn't know anything, have any contacts up here at all. But the first person I asked to help me with the garden, he was a little bit of a wide boy, but the person that was working with him, I discovered at the end of the job, just lived round the corner. And he is amazing. I had no curtain rails in this house. I had second-hand curtains, and I had no way of putting them up because that wasn't something I was going to attempt to do. So Daniel came round after he'd done the job with the person he was working with, and I was going to get some more jobs done, and he said, I only live round the corner. I'll do it for you. I said, well, Daniel, what I haven't got is any curtains. Never mind, I'll come round on Sunday with me dad. And that's what they did. And they put all new curtain rails up for me everywhere so I could have some privacy.
Wow. That shows you, again, the things that happened, and we don't want to give it all away, but that shows you the things that happen when you move from fear to peace. I want to make sure that we get this in. We only have a couple of minutes left. What do you, and I think you're telling us this along the way, but what do you truly hope people understand and get from reading your book, From Fear to Peace?
That it is simple to do. Everybody makes things so big, so complicated. It doesn't need to be. The idea of a small book is that you can take that with you. You can keep it in your office drawer. The solicitor that helped me buy this house, she rang me up not long after I moved here, and I'd sent her a copy of the book as a thank you. And she said, I had to ring you up because I had a client who was trying to sue me. She said, and I used to go to bed every night, and I got your book by the bed, and that always changed the way I was thinking, and I could go to sleep.
Wow, that's pretty powerful.
Yeah, and that wasn't something that I'd asked her to do. She actually rang up to tell me what a change this had made for her.
Wow. Wow. Alexia Franklin, we could talk to you all day and all night long. From Fear to Peace, pick it up wherever great books are sold, of course. Amazon.com, an easy place to go. Alexia, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113. Drinksupertea.com.